This is Sheffield Live.
We're open for business live.
Begbies Trainer is an independent business rescue and recovery specialist. If your business has financial challenges requiring professional insights and solutions, Begbies Trainer can help. We provide advice designed to help people and companies deal successfully with debt and financial problems. And wherever possible, we will find the best solution that allows for active steps towards financial recovery. Begbies Trainer is an independent business rescue and recovery specialist. We're committed to providing a rapid and responsive service based on in-depth experience, professionalism and independent specialist expertise. Contact our Sheffield office or visit begbies-trainergroup.com.
Morning, it's just after 9 o'clock. It's Friday, it's the 11th of November 2016. My name's Jamie Veitch. I'll be with you for the next hour presenting Sheffield Live's business and social enterprise programme, Business Live. Now, as regular listeners will know, we're normally broadcasting live every Friday morning. Today's show, however, was pre-recorded yesterday, Thursday the 10th of November, and includes interviews that I recorded at this week's MADE Festival of Entrepreneurship on Tuesday. So coming up in today's programme, we'll be hearing from Jim Cregan. He's the founder of Jimmy's Iced Coffee. Also from Hilary Dunn. She's the events director at the BE Group, which ran the MADE Festival. We also have an interview with Josh Littlejohn. He was the founder of Social Bite, a chain of cafes in Scotland employing ex-homeless people. And he founded the Scottish Business Awards. So that's all coming up. Before we do, of course, we need to catch up with what's been going on this week. And a quick plug, of course, if you missed last week's programme, which featured Dave Berry and Paul Cocker of Sheffield Renewables, then you can catch it on the podcast section of the Sheffield Live website. Just go to sheffieldlive.org, find radio shows, look up Business Live, and you'll be able to find the show from the 4th of November there. So before we turn to this week's guests, what's going on in business and in social enterprise this week? We have to start by mentioning the American election. And like many, I woke up shocked, surprised about the victory of Donald Trump after a bitter campaign. So the new president-elect, who's been described by Barack Obama as profoundly unqualified for the job and has, of course, offended many, will become the president of America. What's that going to mean for business and for social enterprise? And how will it affect businesses here in the UK and here in Sheffield that work in America, that work with America? Well, writing in his column in this week's Sheffield Telegraph, Richard Wright, who's the Executive Director of Sheffield Chamber of Commerce, said, well, it's tempting to ask whether Trump will cut taxes to what he's been paying himself. Zero. But we know any decent society cannot deliver services and make investments without tax. So I see it personally as a negative that he hasn't paid his way. And of course, Richard's right. Now, what else? Well, Trump has talked about imposing strict trade tariffs, particularly with Mexico and with China. If he were to become elected, will he go through with that? And how will it affect you if your business, if your social enterprise, works in or with America? Well, as ever, we're keen to hear from you. If you want to have your say, if you want to put your opinion across, then you can get in touch with me and I'll give the address out in a moment or two. What else has been going on this week? Well, hundreds of millions of pounds are going to be distributed to customers of the Royal Bank of Scotland's Global Restructuring Group. That was a part of RBS, which came under criticism for the way it handled struggling SMEs. So businesses that were transferred to the group are likely to get around £400 million handed out to them, between them. RBS was accused of mistreatment towards its customers between 2008 and 2013 regarding the transfer of them to its global restructuring group and its lack of communication on the fees it introduced and charged them. The bank, which of course is state-backed, has now said it will automatically refund these complex fees, and it's introduced a new complaints process, which has been led by retired High Court Judge Sir William Blackburn. The FCA highlighted the bank's failure to support SME businesses in a manner consistent with good turnaround practice, and that its complaint handling was poor and communication misleading. The world's biggest festival of entrepreneurship returns next week, running from the 14th of November to Sunday the 20th of November. Hundreds of events are going to take place across the UK to encourage people to start a business and help to support existing business owners. It's Global Entrepreneurship Week, of course, and this year's Global Entrepreneurship Week is going to play host to a series of workshops, conferences, and inspiring talks. Last year, GEW UK saw over 500 partner organisations host more than 2,500 events, and it reached more than 300,000 people nationwide. This year's campaign is set to be even bigger, with a focus on helping people map their entrepreneurial journey and gain access to targeted support and content. The official launch of GEW UK is on Monday the 14th of November. That's taking place at the British Library in London, so if you're a London-based listener, or if you're in London on Monday, you can go along to that. It's 8:15 a.m. at the British Library in London. And aside from that, look up Global Entrepreneurship Week, GEW UK. There's a Twitter hashtag and all sorts of events taking place all over the UK. The Sheffield City region this week received confirmation that the China and World Economic Outlook 2017 Summit, the 2017 Horasis Summit, will take place in Sheffield next year. It's a global economic summit. It's been described as having set the agenda for the world's East-West collaborations for over a decade. Heads of government, ministers and investors will come to Sheffield in November next year, and they'll investigate and discuss strategies that will shape the global economy and forge new approaches to pressing social, economic and geopolitical challenges. Horasis 17 is set to attract chief executives from the world's largest companies, and Sheffield City Region Local Enterprise Partnership, which is, of course, the LEP, a partnership of local authorities and business leaders, was invited to bid to host the summit in 2016, following the appointment of Sir Nigel Knowles as chairman. So the city region put in a bid against competition from around the globe to stage Horasis 2017. And in an announcement, Sir Nigel said, "With everyone pulling together and a great sense of community, we are achieving transformational change and building a thriving, super-connected and successful economy. Chinese partners are a major and growing part of Sheffield City Region's success story, with the biggest Chinese investment outside London coming to the city centre earlier this year, and this is the kind of approach championed by Horasis," according to Sir Nigel. Sheffield's tech sector was mentioned by the Prime Minister this week, ahead of her three-day mission to India, and that mission was joined by a Sheffield tech firm on the Prime Minister's first trade trip. The Flow is a Sheffield firm which serves insurers around the world, and of course CEO and founder Aldo Monteforti has been on this programme several times. So this week he boarded the Prime Ministerial plane alongside Theresa May, and the Flow was one of 39 firms that's taken part in the trip. So the trip is set to allow the Flow to pitch for new business in Asia's second largest economy. And discussing the trip, Prime Minister Theresa May said that Sheffield's growing tech sector is an exciting prospect for the future of the city. She added that with more than 25,000 people already employed in the city's digital industries and two top-class universities producing the talent of tomorrow, the prospects for future growth are there for all to see. And she described the Flow, as a great example of the sort of firm that will help drive Sheffield's future economic growth. Now, as I mentioned, Aldo Monteforti, who's the founder and chief executive of The Flow, has been on this programme several times in the past. The company is spearheading innovative work to tackle air pollution and to look at opportunities for integrated traffic management. The government was urged this week to clarify exactly which employment rights will be protected when Britain leaves the EU, after saying that law would only be carried over where it's practical. In a written response to a series of questions on employment law, David Jones, who's Minister of State at the Department for Exiting the European Union, said the government will bring forward legislation in the next session that, when enacted, will repeal the European Communities Act 1972 and ensure a functioning statute book on the day we leave the EU. And he added that this great repeal bill will end the authority of EU law and return power to the UK. He said that the bill will convert existing EU law into domestic law wherever practical. And he said that the government will set out the content of the bill and its implications in due course. So, the lack of commitment to guaranteeing workers' rights, employees' rights, through laws such as the Working Time Directive has been highlighted by some MPs as troubling. Matthew Pennycook, who's the shadow minister for exiting the EU, asked for precise detail to be set out. The joint owner of Meadowhall has submitted major plans for a £300 million leisure hall at the shopping destination. The proposed extension from British Land is part of a five-year plan to extend the leisure offer at the centre, and it would create over 1,000 jobs upon completion. 540 jobs would be created during construction, and the plans involve a 300,000 square foot multi-level extension with restaurants, new restaurants, a cinema to replace the existing cinema, a gym, more leisure space and a terrace. Sheffield City Council is expected to make a decision in spring 2017. And this, of course, would follow the £60 million refurbishment which is currently underway at Meadowhall, which is due to complete next year. New funding has been announced for the manufacturing sector. Innovate UK have launched a new fund for small and medium-sized firms to develop innovative solutions to technical and commercial challenges in the manufacturing and materials sector. It's a £15 million fund, and if you want to compete for it, your project must support innovation in a manufacturing system, technology, process or business model, or it must support innovation in materials development, properties, integration or reuse. The deadline for applications is the 18th of January 2017. If you have an idea for a social enterprise, or if you're an existing social enterprise wanting to grow, or you want to find out more about social enterprise, then you might be interested in a set of new events from the new programme launched recently, the Social Enterprise Exchange. It's a new initiative to support social enterprise across the Sheffield City region, providing specialist business support, access to startup and development finance, and a programme of events to promote social entrepreneurship. A set of social enterprise exchange roadshows, are coming up. These are half-day roadshops. They're an opportunity to find out more about the programme and discuss challenges and opportunities for social enterprise. There's one on Monday the 14th of November at the Chislett Centre in Rotherham. Another one on Tuesday the 22nd of November at Doncaster CVS. One on Wednesday the 23rd of November in Barnsley at Voluntary Action Barnsley. 28th of November there'll be an event in Chesterfield at the Lounsley Green Community Centre. 29th of November, Bolsover District at the Dolie Centre, and then Wednesday the 30th of November in Worksop at Bassett Law CVS. Best way to find out details and to book will be to take a look at the Social Enterprise Exchange website, and you can find details at SOC and Exchange, that's just an X in the middle, on Twitter as well. So before we turn to this week's interviews, quick reminder that you can get in touch with this programme if you've got a comment on what we've discussed, if you want to put yourself or someone else forward to be interviewed on the show, then contact me. It's really easy to do so. Text 07904 272 200. Find me on Twitter, Jamie Veitch. Find Sheffield Live on Twitter as well. Or send an email to jamie@sheffieldlive.org. And whether you're starting, whether you're running a business or a social enterprise, whether you're an employer or an employee, we're always keen to hear from you. So let's turn now to our first interview of today. A quick reminder that I've put together this programme on Thursday the 10th of November. You're hearing it on Friday the 11th of November. And it includes interviews from this week's MAID Festival of Entrepreneurship. I went along to MAID on Tuesday, took place in the Crucible, and it attracted delegates from not only all over the city and the city region, but of course from across the UK, and a range of interesting speakers. Now, one of those speakers was Jim Cregan, who founded Jimmy's iced coffee and runs a business with his sister Susie. He gave an interesting 20-minute presentation, and afterwards I caught up with him to find out more about the highs and the lows and the challenges of setting up and launching his iced coffee business. We'll hear from Jim now. Good morning, Jim. Thanks for joining me today. And what a brilliant presentation you've just given at the MADE Festival. For those who haven't come across your coffee, and a pick-me-up it is indeed, tell us the story of how you came up with the idea from Mankini to wonderful coffee, wonderful iced coffee.
Well, yeah, we'll park the first part. I did the whole, you know, growing up thing and the university thing. I thought it was the kind of right thing to do, and then went into the big bad world of employment. And you know, half of my life was throughout the summer building festivals and bars and stages, and then the other half was during the winter. I became a labourer, which I didn't enjoy, until one day I kind of realised that I was just not going anywhere with my life. So I thought, I'm going to take a break and I'm going to go to Australia. So I went to Oz and hung out there, had an amazing time. And I stumbled across a phenomenon that they love, which is ready-to-drink iced coffee, which you can pick up in petrol stations, supermarkets, things like that. Almost just like an alternative to Red Bull or Coke or something. And I fell in love with it. And I came back to the UK and decided, actually, I wouldn't mind making my own version of this. So myself and my sister started doing it. And in business.
Oh my goodness. So you came back to the UK and there wasn't a product just like the product that you'd enjoyed on your trip to Oz.
No, there wasn't. There was a combination, very simple combination of branding, packaging and ingredients, which I fell in love with in Oz. The branding, packaging, ingredients offer on the supermarket shelves in the UK is just totally... I just didn't fall in love with it. I had no connection with it, no emotion to it. I didn't find the product useful. I just didn't like it. So that's when I thought, I want to take the feeling that I had of, yes, when I saw that product in Oz, to the UK shelves and try and replicate that for other people. And a perfect example, we have someone who drives from Bournemouth to London every day, and they'll swing by Fleet Services on the northbound on the M3, and they go into Waitrose and they pick up their last bit of Bournemouth Beach, as opposed to pick up an iced coffee. And I quite like that, because you're not just selling stuff in a carton, you're selling a kind of like a lifestyle choice.
I suppose here in Sheffield we're quite familiar with the idea of Henderson's Relish and it being very much of the city, and in the way you're describing Jimmy's iced coffee in the same kind of mental relationship with the brand. Mm-hmm. That's what you're trying to achieve there.
Essentially, yeah. I mean, we're really proud of where we live, so we like talking about Dorset. Our hip-hop tracks that we make are all, you know, they boast where we live. You know, we've got the most beautiful beaches. Well, I personally think we do. We've got the New Forest on our doorstep, where if you drive through New Forest, you've got deer, you've got wild horses, you've got everything on our doorstep, and it's just beautiful. And I understand you've got that in Sheffield as well, with, I think it's the Peak District,
Peak
isn't
District,
it?
Right, National Park, yeah. That's right, yeah.
And something that, a place I've yet to explore, which I would absolutely love to do soon. So it's nice bigging that part of the world up.
Yeah, indeed. So you're giving that part of the world the attention that you feel it deserves.
Yeah.
You've created this product that you obviously loved a similar product when you were in Australia. Mm-hmm. You think Brits deserve to enjoy it themselves. So you've made it sound actually, you know, not that difficult in terms of getting a product to market and getting stocked in huge supermarkets. Mm-hmm. Actually, obviously, there are huge challenges to overcome to do that. What was the biggest challenge when you realised you couldn't take a cow up into your parents' flat, feed it coffee, milk it, and then sell it to a supermarket, as you described in your presentation? What was your biggest challenge?
I think one of the biggest challenges came to me when I was actually stood outside a pub in central London just before work finished for the day, and the streets just flooded with people. And I saw a corner shop on the other side of the road, and I thought, how on earth am I going to A, make the product, and then B, get it stocked in that store? So I said, I'm not going to be able to have time to go to the 14,000 convenience stores around the UK and do a drop. So that was kind of my moment of, oh gosh. But then, you know, you seek advice from people. I pride myself on just asking people stuff if I need help. I'm never afraid to pick up the phone and ask someone a question. And one of the pieces of advice I took was gym, just do it all in bite-sized chunks, because otherwise you'll throw up and you'll just become completely and utterly overwhelmed and you won't be able to focus on stuff. So you
divide
actually,
things.
Put them all in boxes in your brain and only open them when you need to, but know that they're there. Don't put them in the dark so that you don't want to address them, but bite-sized chunks is definitely the way forward.
Yeah.
So that was one of the biggest kind of things that I took when I needed to, when I had that kind of challenge. That was the biggest challenge of how on earth am I going to do this? Okay, take it into bite-sized chunks and deal with each piece individually, address it, and then move on to the next one.
So bite-sized chunks is a great lesson, actually, for entrepreneurs in any business who are feeling a bit overwhelmed by the to-do list and about how to get from where they are to where they want to be.
Yes.
So, okay, that's great. And now you're stocked in numerous supermarkets. You've got great brand recognition. And you're becoming well-known as a rapper as well. Give us a rap.
Can I not?
All right, well, we might have to point listeners to watch your film online if that's...
That would be great. Let's get our viewing numbers up.
Okay, viewing numbers up. But it's a quirky approach to marketing, but it's just an authentic approach to marketing. And you talked in a presentation at MADE as well about storytelling and embedding storytelling mm-hmm. into marketing. In fact, you said marketing is storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some brands just get that so wrong. They try to be something they're not.
Mm-hmm.
How should someone starting out in business who's trying to catch attention from, you know, from consumers, from potential users, from buyers of their product or their service, how do they break through? How do they do that in a way that's kind of real, authentic and isn't going to get lost? Any tips?
I think if you're someone, you know, giant, you're a massive company, and you kind of worry about the fact that you've only got, you know, £16 million to spend this year on marketing, then you kind of need to really think about what you're doing. And imagine if you didn't have £16 million, what are the marketing team going to go and do in order to sell product? And likewise, that actually brings it right back to, if you've got an idea and you want to tell someone about it, then take your product and go and sit on the bus and look someone next to you in the eye and say, "You got 2 secs. I'm starting up this company, and I've got this product. What do you think about it?" And get their feedback, or actually go and talk to someone that you might trust, or maybe create a little focus group about how you can, you know, approach your certain business tactics or whatever it is. You've got to look at what resource you have in order to be able to talk to people, and then come up with the best way of doing it. And we still, luckily, you've got social media now, so you can start a company Facebook page in a heartbeat. And you can, you know, your first post can be, "We're here. Join us on our journey if you like. And this is what we're up to. This is what we've had for breakfast today. This is our car. You know, this is the motorway because I'm going for a meeting with X, Y, and Z." And that's all storytelling and marketing. It doesn't have to be, you know, the ingredients in the product. It doesn't have to be the design of the pack. It can actually be so much more. And that's what people like falling in love with, is something that's just very real and very tangible.
So that reality, that tangibility, that resonates with people.
Yeah.
Some great tips there covering storytelling and marketing, being real, but also what you said earlier as well about asking for help, asking for advice. And a lot of the people who come on this show, an overriding theme actually of the successful businesses and social enterprises we interview is about asking for help, asking for advice.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone wanting to get a mentor, trying to find someone to help them, who should they choose? How should they make a choice of who to ask for help?
I think if you haven't got much much confidence in wondering about or being kind of scared about who to ask, I would probably talk to, there's got to be someone in your family, I would imagine, whether it's an uncle that runs a business or an auntie that does X, Y, and Z, or someone who's just maybe just the wise grandfather that you kind of just, you want to sit down and you just chat to. They might be the first person you want to go and talk to, just to get the conversation ball rolling. And then once you've built up a little bit of confidence, it's then when you can actually pick a company that you kind of like. And it doesn't have to be big, it doesn't have to be small, it can be anyone that you admire. And you can pick up the phone and so you get through to the secretary and you go, "Hello, my name is Dingy. I've started up a very, very tiny company. I really admire what your chief executive officer does, and I like his style and I love the products you do. I don't suppose you've got a spare, he has or she has a spare 10 minutes on the phone for me." And chances are they will just... They shouldn't be busy, the CEOs, because they've got a team doing the work and they're just there to make sure that it all gets done. So they should have a spare 10 minutes to be able to go, actually, yeah, I can help you out here. So it's just a case of, if you truly believe in what you're doing, then you shouldn't be worried about asking someone a question.
Brilliant advice. And is that something that you do yourself? Do people phone you up and ask for advice?
Yeah, a lot. I mean, even already people are just saying, can I have your email address because I've started out a company? And, you know, a lovely lady called Natalia who's got this Panela Colombian sugar, which is an alternative to kind of cane sugar. And she's just said, look, can you help me? I said, well, typically the best thing to do is just email me your 5 top burning questions and I will reply to them, and then you can digest and act on them, which might even take 3 or 4 months to actually act on, because they're quite big moves that you're asking people to make. And then they can come back and report on how they're doing. And it makes it much far easier for me to mentor a lot of people as opposed to doing proper daily grind work with people, which I sadly can't afford the time to do.
But answering those questions from someone like Natalia of Pura Panela will then give us something to go away and do. In fact, we're going to have to get her onto the show in a few months and see how she's got on.
100%.
Yeah. Brilliant. So, Jimmy, just to conclude then, what gets you up in the morning?
The excitement of the unknown, I think, gets me up in the morning. Even though I might know what's happening in the day, you never know what might happen, what also might happen in that day. And also knowing that I can take, if I'm going to take a few weeks off next summer, I need to put some money aside, so I need to work hard to get that money in order to be able to go on holiday. And I've got 2 babies now, and I've got a mortgage, and they all need paying and looking after and stuff, so yeah, that they get me out of bed. I get out of bed so that I don't do the old jobs that I used to. Because if you become lazy, then you end up going to have to go back to where you started from. I'm too afraid of going back there, so I need to work.
And from what you've told us about some of the jobs you did, then we can understand why.
Yeah, absolutely.
Indeed. Well, brilliant. So what does KYCU stand for?
The KYCU on my hat stands for Keep Your Chin Up. Someone did mistake it for the Kentucky Fried Chicken University, which I thought was hilarious. it's kind of epitomises the mindset that you need to have in, well, what we find in our business kind of helps us. If you go in with a positive approach and an enthusiastic approach and into everything that we do, then the chances are the results are going to be a bit better. Because people believe you, and they warm to people who are friendly and look you in the eye and, you know, are honest and open and positive, as opposed to, you know, people who aren't so like that.
Great philosophy in life as well as in business.
True.
So keep your chin up. Jim Cregan, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks very much for having me. Cheers.
This is Sheffield Live.
We're open for business life.
This is Business Live on Sheffield Live, 93.2 FM and sheffieldlive.org with me, Jamie Veitch. That was Jim Cregan speaking with me on Tuesday of this week at the MAID Festival of Entrepreneurship, which took place at the Crucible Theatre. Jim, of course, is the founder of Jimmy's Iced Coffee, which he runs with his sister, Susie. Now, if you've only just tuned in and you've missed the interview with Jimmy, which covered storytelling in marketing, tips for businesses, mentoring, choosing and finding a mentor, and much, much more, then panic not, because of course, today's show will be up on the podcast section of the Sheffield Live website after about 11 a.m. today. Now, on the theme of MAID, it was a buzzing, it was a busy event. In fact, as you could tell from the background noise in the interview with Jim Cregan there, and that was the quietest place we could find to do the interview. Did you go along to MAID yourself? What did you think of it? Always keen to hear from our listeners and get your opinion on what's going on in business and in social enterprise. Talk about what's going on, what you've been up to, or put yourself or nominate someone else as a guest for the show. So you can get in touch with this programme. All you need to do is email me, jamie@sheffieldlive.org, or text me, 07904 272 200. Find me on Twitter, find Sheffield Live on Twitter as well. So, also speaking at MAID was Josh Littlejohn. Josh runs and founded the Scottish Business Awards and Social Bite. And Social Bite is a chain of cafes in Scotland that employs homeless and ex-homeless people. Now, regular listeners of the programme might remember that I interviewed Josh about a year and a quarter ago, up in Edinburgh at a social enterprise event. But lots has gone on with Social Bite since then, and they hit the news all over the UK and the world after they They invited George Clooney to Scotland, and he popped into their cafes. Now, Josh told the story and some of what's been going on at Social Bias at the MADE conference, and afterwards he joined me for a quick interview. We'll hear from Josh now. Josh, thanks for joining me today. It's the second time you've been on Sheffield Live, and in the year and a quarter since you were last interviewed, a lot has happened. You've been all over the news, George Clooney, but the business itself has developed, has grown, has evolved. Now, one thing that you said at MADE that caught my attention was the need to be careful about growth for growth's sake, particularly for a social enterprise. Can you just explain a bit more about that?
Sure. So at Social Bite, we work with and employ people from backgrounds of homelessness. So they're typically very vulnerable, marginalised people from society. And typically, it takes a lot of patience and commitment to rehabilitate these people into work. So at the moment, Social Bite employ around 100 people, and around a quarter of those are people from homeless backgrounds. And as I say, that requires a lot of dedication and personal involvement and personal commitment to those individuals and patience and everything else to try and make sure that that employment has the best chance of being a success. I think I personally feel the scale we're at the moment is kind of the limit for us in terms of being able to do a good service for those individuals. And I think you do run the risk in this kind of business, dealing with these kind of individuals, if you grow too big, then commercially the thing runs a risk of falling down like a pack of cards. And equally important is that you run the risk of doing a disservice to the people you're employing and not treating them with the sort of care and commitment that you need to when you embark on a mission like that.
Okay, so treating your employees, treating your beneficiaries with care, commitment, and ensuring that you maintain your social purpose there. Now, you talked today also about George Clooney coming to Scotland and the media attention that you've got. But that was the latest in a series of bold moves that you've taken. What is it, though, that enabled you to do that? What is it that makes you different from other social enterprises in terms of capturing people's attention?
I think, again, in terms of getting the speakers that we've got over the last 5 years to come to Scotland and speak at our event and visit our social enterprise, I think largely, as I say, when we first embarked on this path of social enterprise, we kind of turned the button off in our brains, which was concerned with maximising a financial return. And when we switched that button off, lots of other buttons, I suppose, got turned on. So some of those were the altruistic motivations of trying to sort of help these marginalised, vulnerable people. But some of them were just other things, such as, say, life experience. So you know, if you're less concerned with the financial return, you're more able to do things like potentially pay a large speaker's fee or a large donation to a speaker's charity to entice them to come to come and see you. So I think, you know, it's largely that kind of mindset and underlying motivation that's enabled us to attract some of the highest profile people in the world to Scotland.
Yeah, so that motivation, that openness has really helped. And finally, you've talked about some plans for 2017, some exciting plans that relate to housing. Can you tell us a little bit more about those?
Sure. Well, we were thinking about ourselves as a social enterprise, and at the moment we engage with homeless people through distributing free food as well as providing jobs. And we started to think about our engagement with homeless people and how we could look to transition ourselves into a sort of 360-degree solution to that issue of homelessness for the individuals we engage with. So I think when you are thinking about that, at some point you inevitably get back to the issue of a home and a roof over one's head. So we basically set wheels in motion to get into housing for people that are currently staying in temporary accommodation such as hostels or homelessness bed and breakfasts. So we have a plan to take some land from Edinburgh City Council and build these cool small prefab houses that you can build for about 30 grand a unit. And our plan is to house 20 homeless people, and alongside that housing, give them lots of support, things to be proactive doing on site, such as a vegetable garden and a furniture workshop, and also links into job opportunities to try and really transition ourselves from an organisation that now looks at housing through to all the different support requirements through to employment.
So that sounds like an exciting plan, exciting opportunity. You're fundraising at the moment for that. You're raising $500,000, is that correct?
That's the plan.
Yeah. How are you doing towards that?
Well, we've got various events on. We have a CEO sleep out where we're invited lots of business leaders. And from Sheffield's welcome to come up and join us, to come and sleep out in the cold on December the 15th. So we've taken over a street called square called Charlotte Square. At the moment, we've got about 150 business leaders signed up. So the idea is to get the most elite people in society raising funds to fund this project to support some of the most vulnerable. So we have that on December 15th. We've got our Scottish Business Awards event, which we're raising money at again, and we are also have a big Christmas fundraising plan. So still early days, but certainly hopeful.
Super. Well, Josh, thanks for joining us. People can find out more from the social media feeds. Just want to give the links out so that people can find out.
Sure. So you can find us just on Facebook at SocialBite, and Twitter's Social Bite with an underscore after it, and our website is just social-bite.co.uk.
Super. Josh Littlejohn, thank you for joining.
Thank you very much.
You're listening to Business Live, Sheffield Live, 93.2 FM and sheffieldlive.org with me, Jamie Veitch. And you've just heard from Josh Littlejohn. Josh is the founder of the Scottish Business Awards and of Social Bite, the chain of social enterprise cafes in Scotland, which employ homeless and ex-homeless people. Now, Josh was speaking with me at the MADE Festival of Entrepreneurship on Tuesday of this week. Did you go along yourself? If you did, what did you think of the event? Did you find it useful? Did you find it inspirational? Did you find it practical? What do you want to see at business and social enterprise events in Sheffield and all over the UK? We want your opinion. What's missing from the event scene in business and in social enterprise? What could be done to better serve the needs of businesses and social enterprises when they go along to events? Get in touch. Just email jamie@sheffieldlive.org or send a text to 07904 272 200. Find us on Twitter as well. I'm Jamie Veitch, and of course, Sheffield Live is on Twitter too. We're really keen to hear from you. You might even put yourself forward to be on the programme. So, also speaking at MADE this week was Paralympic champion Hannah Cockcroft. She's a 5-time gold medal winning Paralympian. She gave an inspirational speech talking about her journey to winning medals and all the challenges that she overcame. I'd have loved to interview Hannah, but I couldn't manage to find the time, or she couldn't manage to find the time. We couldn't coincide afterwards after her speech. Another speaker was Emma Jones of Enterprise Nation, and she dashed off afterwards as well because she was leading a trade mission to China. But Emma and I caught up very, very briefly before her panel discussion, and she'll be coming on the show shortly, so watch out for that. Now, what does it take to run MADE? The event's been run by the BE Group for the last 3 years. It's moved from the City Hall to the Crucible this year. And what's going to happen next with the event? Well, at the conclusion of the day, I found Hilary Dunn, and she's the events director of the BE Group. Had a quick chat with her to talk about how this year's MADE has gone. We'll hear from Hilary now. Hilary, thanks for joining me today at the MADE Festival. The main day has just ended. What a day. You must be delighted.
Delighted, absolutely delighted. It's been a fantastic day. It's been a day that's been packed with entrepreneurs in the audience. We've had a really sterling cast of entrepreneurs on stage as speakers. We've had everything from social enterprise to multi-million pound turnover companies to fledgling companies pitching live to angel investors in a den. We've had it all today. Just terrific. The feedback has been absolutely great.
Splendid. And notable for, of course, a change of venue this year to the Crucible. Seems to have worked really, really well. And speakers who many of us haven't necessarily seen on the speaker circuit before, but really, really great speakers. How did you choose the businesses and the social entrepreneurs who spoke today?
Yeah, sure. So what we decided to do at the end of last year and following last year's event was to have a real look at our lineup of speakers and who we had. And we had a couple of focus groups that we put together, and we wanted to get a really good gauge from right across sectors of businesses of where they were in their entrepreneurial journey, of what the subject matter was that was important to them. So we really decided to focus the content on all around content rather than a celebrity keynote speaker. So we decided on the content first, and then we went out to find our speakers, and we have been the length and breadth of the country looking for our speakers, and I think that was quite evident today.
It was indeed.
From Bournemouth to Scotland, the Bonnie Isles of Scotland.
Yeah, absolutely. Great. And of course, there's the after show party coming up that many people at MADE will be going to, but many people will be talking about, well, what happens next? You've been running this for 3 years.
Yep.
It seems to have gone really, really well.
Yep.
We'd all like to know what's happening next year.
there's no announcement as yet. There are a lot of things to take into consideration. We need to speak to speakers, sponsors, partners. There's a lot to talk about. I think we've got an awful lot to build on. And if the public want it again, that's great. The feedback's really good. We've obviously got to go through our feedback period with all our delegates as well, because it's really important that, you know, we take on board what they say. You know, feedback is great from an event like this, because this is an event, it's not a sector-specific event. So we're having to cover, you know, many sectors of industry in our content. We've got to do a good piece of feedback with our delegates first to see what it is that they want.
Great. Okay, so if you're at MADE, then make sure you participate and give the BE Group your feedback.
Yes,
when you're asked for it. And excellent, Hilary. And then meanwhile, what else is going on with the group? You run all sorts of events. You get involved in many other areas of business. You publish a magazine. What are you doing next, apart from perhaps having a well-earned break tonight?
There's no rest. There's no rest. We've got an awful lot going on at the moment. It's a really busy time for the business. It's great times, really exciting times. The mantra of the business is to help businesses succeed and grow. So that's against our events portfolio, that's against our publishing division, and also against our business programs and consultancy. So, yeah, hugely exciting, really busy time.
Hilary, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you. Thanks.
This is Sheffield Live.
We're open for business live.
Begbies Trainer is an independent business rescue and recovery specialist. If your business has financial challenges requiring professional insight and solutions, Begbies Trainer can help. We provide advice designed to help people and companies deal successfully with debt and financial problems. And wherever possible, we will find the best solution that allows for active steps towards financial recovery. Begbies Trainer is an independent business rescue and recovery specialist. We're committed to providing a rapid and responsive service based on in-depth experience, professionalism and independent specialist expertise. Contact our Sheffield office or visit begbies-trainergroup.com.
You're listening to Business Live on Sheffield Live, 93.2 FM and sheffieldlive.org with me, Jamie Veitch. Business Live is our weekly programme about business and social enterprise. Today's show has featured pre-recorded interviews. I went along to the MADE Festival of Entrepreneurship this week. It was on Tuesday at the Crucible Theatre. And there I met and interviewed Jim Cregan, the founder of Jimmy's Iced Coffee, Hilary Dunn, the events director at the BE Group, and Josh Littlejohn, the founder of Social Bite. We've heard from all three of them in the programme today. If you've only just tuned in, though, and you've missed them, panic not, because the podcast of today's programme will be uploaded to the Sheffield Live website from about 11:30 on today. Now, Business Live normally goes out live. I put together the programme today, yesterday on Thursday the 10th of November. But we will be back next week from 9 a.m. through to 10 a.m. So please tune in then. Today's programme, we've also featured news of the Royal Bank of Scotland's Global Restructuring Group. They'll be refunding £400 million to businesses that were transferred to them. They've been accused of mistreatment towards customers between 2008 and 2013. We've heard about a global leadership convention coming to the Sheffield City region next year. We've heard about a Sheffield tech firm, The Flow, who took a place on the Prime Minister's first trade trip to India this week. We've also heard about employment rights. Will they be protected when Britain leaves the EU, and which ones will or won't? Meadowhall's expansion featured as well today, and a number of events coming up from the Social Enterprise Exchange. And of course, we discussed briefly the choice of the American people to elect Donald Trump as their next president. Now, if you've got a view about anything that we discussed, we'd love to hear from you. You can get in touch. Email me, jamie@sheffieldlive.org, text 07904272200, or find me or Sheffield Live on Twitter as well. So, we'll be back on air next week. Until then, thanks very much for listening, and thanks also to our guests. And I'm going to play out with a little bit of, or quite a lot in fact, of Vaughan Williams, The Lark Ascending. So I hope you really, really enjoy this. Next up after that is our fantastic folk music programme, of course. Thank goodness it's folk. That's on from 10 through to noon. But before that, a bit of a treat for you, The Lark Ascending.